So we've been talking about this theme, choose better. Choose better. That when Christ told us that he has come, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, to have it to the fuller, and that he didn't come to make a sentiment, he came to make a movement. And a movement moves. He also didn't come to have us make judgments. He didn't have us come. Didn't come to have us make fightments, arguments, marchments, every type of march. I like to make up words. He came and that we would adopt the movement of God, the kingdom movement of heaven. And so as we come to follow him, we're knowing his heart, we're learning of him, and we should start to get to understand that that's a movement of love. It's a movement of service. It's an entirely different paradigm than what the world lives. Totally different. Yesterday was so awesome and so cold. But it was awesome because we did this thing that what people have come to expect. We got the parade in for Westbrook Together Day, and there were like 15 of us out there in the parking lot doing games and bounce house and all of this stuff for the community to take advantage of for free. So you had Katie in London painting faces. We found out that face paint, oh, and Angel too, and we found out that face paint is meant to work in the warm weather. When face paint is cold, it doesn't really spread well, especially those crayons. So you had to really press really hard. Kids were crying. We had that going on. We had the bounce house, which was a huge hit, and Josh was the bounce house bouncer, keeping control of all those kids. Sometimes they'd be tempted to go more than five of them at once, and he'd be like, "You, I'll throw them out into the road." Bouncer type. Nah, he was gentle and just keeping it safe. And Biff was over there, Roland and Carolyn and Jamie doing food, and they're just like doing hot dogs. 250 hot dogs about is what we served yesterday. And you had Ginger, who was working so diligently to make sure everything's happening and going on and set up. And people come to me and say, "What should I do about this?" And I love that my response is, "You should ask Ginger." I just love that type of leadership, you know, and go, "I don't know." She and Biff at the beginning were like, "How should we like set up this and this?" And I said, "I don't know, guys. What I would do is I would ask Ginger and Biff." And they were like, "Oh, man, us." But we had Barbie. She's not here today. Somebody needs to check on her because she might be a frozen popsicle somewhere. Poor Barbie was welcoming kids into the play area and giving every kid a prize, and she was sitting. And so we kept finding everything we could to cover her and give her some more heat. I thought we could move her over to where Leslie and Robin were just having a blast with the cotton candy machine. And the fact that kids were there, you know, kind of made it a little better, but I'm pretty sure that Leslie and Robin still would have done that even if there weren't any kids there. But the cotton candy line was lined up and they were having a blast. But poor Barbie, I look, I'll post a picture this week of it. She's over in her chair. Really, I'm not exaggerating. We had her wrapped in my safety coat, my bright yellow thing, plus plus the two layers she had. Then somebody pulled a blue blanket out of their car in the trunk. We wrapped her in that, and you'd have to say to the little kids, go over there and get a prize, and they'd look. Is that the winter warlock over there? I don't know if I should be. Come and have a prize. But we just had a blast serving together. Little Daniela folding all of our menus for our open door kitchen, and then Jamie and I walking up and down the street, handing out, talking to people, telling them about our community dinners. And I thought, this is a movement in loving people in the name of Christ. You know, when Christ said, I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat, we know in Westbrook that food insecurity is a huge issue. And in the state of Maine, it's 1 out of every 5 are experiencing food insecurity. That means you don't know where your next meal comes from. And that number is higher in Westbrook for children. It's like 2 to 3 out of every 5 children not knowing where their next meal is coming from. And so when we're handing out hot dogs and chips and cookies and waters and all that, most of us sitting in this room, we go, that's easy, no big deal. We had one family, as they were walking out, they were like, thank you so much, that was awesome, thank you. And then they're walking across the street. Remember that family myth? They're walking across the street, they're over the other side, and they're yelling to us, all the little kids, they're yelling, thank you, that was so awesome. And we're thinking, this was a hokey little kids thing. You know, it wasn't a huge deal, but it was expressing the love and care that a body of believers have for the family. I love that movement. And so this morning I'd like to talk about choosing better, whether we're going to choose the same old of the world pattern, or just look at it and say, I don't want any of that. I'm going to break away from that for the paradigm that Christ has set up, that the life that Christ has for us. And do you ever look around at people and just observe life happening? How many people watchers we got? A bunch. Now, there are people watchers, and then there are creepy people watchers. There are people studiers. I am a people studier. I'm like, look, and I'm fascinated by people. And I want to know what makes them tick. I study patterns. I want to know why they're thinking the way they think and what's behind that. I don't know why, but I just want to know that what makes them tick. And I love to talk to everyone. I feel so bad about those commercials about becoming our parents, because the guy in the elevator who's just making conversation with people, you know, and he's just talking, I feel bad because the guy says, no, we face this way. I thought I had a captive audience. And oftentimes in an elevator, my line is, you're probably wondering why I called you all together today. People just look awkward. Great, we got one of these guys. But I love to talk to people, and I love people who speak different languages. And so I'll go up and I'll be, hi, how are you? And they'll go, and I'll go, English? No. Portuguese? And I'll start guessing languages, and they'll catch on as to what I'm doing. And then they'll say what language is it is, and then I go, awesome, Google Translate. so I can still talk to them. Most human beings give up by that point. They just go, I'm like, no, Google Translate. And so we're going back and forth. I'm like, you want to see a picture of my grandchildren? And of course they do, I think. But then they see a picture of a grandchild. I love to talk to people. I want to know why they think differently, act differently. Why do they do things this way? It goes back to that old illustration of the daughter who's asking her mom in the kitchen, Mom, why do you cut off each end of the roast before you put it in the pan? And the mom says, I'm not really sure. My mom always did it that way. And so she says, let's go ask Grandma. So they ask Grandma, Grandma, why do you cut off each end of the ham before we put it in the pan to cook? I don't know. Let's go ask your great-grandma. They go and ask the great-grandma, Grandma, why do we cut off both ends of the ham before we put it in our pan? And great-grandma said, because it wouldn't fit in my pan otherwise. We're so used to doing what we do and only what we do that sometimes we don't even have a reason for it. And I like to find out what the reason is. And so that same old, when we're choosing life, I want to choose and say no way to that. Last week, I wore a shirt that said, that's a bad sign, and it had a sign that said a bad sign, or just had bad on it. I really appreciate those of you at the end who came up and said, what does your shirt say? I just preached for 20 minutes about it. But anyway, that's a bad sign. Choose better. Choose by looking at what things are happening, and choose better. Watch society and say, is that what I want for my life? Is that what I want before I head in that direction? He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, tell you what, I've been around a bunch of people who have died with a lot of toys. And the family never talks in the funeral. Greg, any of your funeral say, I'll talk about all the toys, you know, let's just talk about how cool that Forerunner was, or how cool, we don't talk about any of that. You know, our society is driven by its values, and its values are different than what Christ presents. When I was in advertising the first 2 years of college, thinking that was what I was going to do, I remember reading in a magazine called Advertising Age. In this article, the author said, our goal is not to sell a product. Our goal is to sell a value that then sells the product. What do I mean? The advertising that shows that cool people own this. Good moms look like this, drink out of this tumbler, decorate like this, or the status of people who are important drive this car, this type of car. These are the values. How about that sexy drives this car? You know, you're like, is that ad? What are they selling there? Have you ever looked at that and you think, that ad, what was that? What are they selling? They're selling a value that then is supposed to sell the product. Right now, one of the big values that's being sold is green. Green, recycle, sustainable, save the planet. And every advertiser jumping on board with this, because we all want to save the planet. And so we order it on Amazon to save the planet, and it's this big, and it comes with a box the size of your house, and we feel good about saving the planet, right? It's the value sold. How about in youth sports or youth activities? You ever notice that everything's called elite, premier, elite and premier and select? And what that actually means in vocabulary, that means parents who are able to afford the $1,500 to $2,000 that it will cost you to be on the select or the elite or whatever it is. Nobody ever signs their kid up for the special summer league of bunch of average kids having fun. Because we all want to say, Johnny's an all-star. No, like you had two teams, you had to beg every kid in the league who would play to play. We used to do that when Josh was little. So it's so much pressure when we look around, and do you know that religion does the same thing? Colton has something to say. Colton, what do you want to say to people? He said, he's very shy now. So religion does the same thing. It adds baggage and pressure. Good people act this way. Good Christians do this. Good Christians look like this. Here's how to act when to get what you want out of God. Or if you please the leader, you please God. Or read this translation only of the Bible. Or speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, I was at a church once that they started going down that road, and it was a real problem because there were a bunch of people who didn't speak in tongues. Do you know what they did? They started giving speaking in tongues lessons. I'm serious. Serious, like sign up for the speaking in tongues class. Is that how gifts work? I read this book. It's called the Bible. Doesn't work that way. Pray this way. Go to confession this many times. All of these things. What's the value being sold? Good Christians look like this. Is this what Jesus came for? I doubt it. Some of you have seen this video.
See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat, but it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now we're judging, I'm just saying, we're putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem that people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too. But no one seemed to be onto me, acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of meekness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be in motion. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember, He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. how Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other is the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different planets. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin, and he buried it in the tomb, which is why kneeling at the cross saying, "Come on, there's room." So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
Wow. And so let's look at Scripture and see what Scripture says about this. And this is the interactive part of our show, where you take out a Bible and or get your phone ready, and we're going to look up some passages in Scripture. And I encourage you through the week to read them in context. The first one, and somebody else will be looking up something else on the list down, but Galatians 5:1. Somebody give us that. Deanna, you want to read that?
So Christ has made us set us free. Now to be so that we stay free and don't get tied up again.
Slavery.
To the law.
Amen. So Christ has truly set us free. This is the letter to the Galatians, Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. And we have to ask ourselves, free from what? At that point. In the context of this passage, free from what? And he's talking about here as we go on, that it says, now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Don't let yourself be bonded in that yoke of slavery anymore. And it's talking about the slavery to the law. The new covenant in Christ is better promises. It's grace that says my access to God is through Christ. It's not through what I do. It's not through me doing my religious rituals. It's not through hand washing 7 times. It's not through these purification rituals. It's not through all of these law rituals. That salvation comes through Christ alone. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Grace. Grace is favor that's undeserved. And that is opposite of what our society says. Because our society says you don't get anything for free. That's true. But God steps in and says, the gift of my son. Grace is for anyone who wants it, and it's free. Because otherwise, it goes on, this is Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it goes on to say, if I didn't do it that way, you'd brag about it. It says, lest any man should boast. Well, that's true. If it was up to us earning it, some of us would be like, ooh, I'm so much better than you. Man, did I earn it, right? How about John 3:3? What does does John 3:3 say? Somebody. You got it, Holly?
In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again."
He's talking to Nicodemus there. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born anew, born again, born fresh, totally changed from the world's paradigm to God's paradigm, totally gone from the world's kingdom to God's kingdom. And he's telling this to a man of the law. So he's telling him, no, no, this is different. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17, who has that one? All right, Heidi.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ,
he's a new creature, a new creation. The old has come, the new has, the old has gone, the new has come. And we look and say, but I am the same boogerhead I was last month. I'm the same. See, Scripture also teaches that sanctification takes time. It's a process. That's why Paul wrote, the very things I hate, I end up doing. What is this? I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to, but my body, I still do this. Why? Paul wrote that. And we do the same, but to understand that even in the midst of that struggle, you're a new creation. The old is gone. In God's eyes, the old is gone. The new has come. So live to your potential now. Keep trying, keep striving, keep going, and he never gives up on you. You're new. How about Romans 12:2? All right, Leslie.
Conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His perfect, wait a minute, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yeah. Don't do it the way the world does it. It's a different paradigm. It's a different system. It's a whole different movement. Be renewed in your mind. Romans 6:4. Katie?
We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in new life.
See, it's that even in that saying, when we are baptized, that ordinance that he put in place is a symbol for us to say that we are buried with him. Buried with him, and when he rose without all that yuck. He rose without all that sin. He rose and he defeated it. Scripture tells us that the payment of sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is life through Christ. He's given us not what we deserve, but so, so much better and lasting. And so when we see these scriptures and you read through, you see that Christ has come to set you free. You say, I'm not free. I'm addicted. I'm not free. I'm still battling this. I'm not free. I still struggle with this. It's not that life is going to be perfect. It's not that life is going to be easy. It's not that we'll never cry, that no more tears part. That comes later. That's what he calls heaven. When we're perfected and like him. But in this world, we're going to struggle. But take heart. He's overcome the world. See, Jesus came to set us free. To set us free. And so that in the freedom that he's given, he's making all things new. So that when you look at the world's paradigm, and you say, this is the way the world's doing it. And you might even look at other Christians and churches or a church as a whole and go, oh, look at the way they're doing it. Look at the way. If it's not looking like Jesus, if it's adding other layers and more rituals and more expectations to say, do this, do this, do this, do this, in order to get this. That's not Jesus. When we do choose to trust God and walk away from the things that he says are harmful for us, the things that he calls sin, another word for sin is poison, that's poison to our souls, poison to our lives, that leaves scars and all that. He's saying those things to protect us and provide for us. When we choose faith to say, I'm going to trust God in this, I'm going to follow God in this, that sets us free. That sets us free. So we're going to close today with this this music that the music team is going to come up, and I just wanted this carol. We're going to close with this music that I'm actually going to show you in a video. Katie shared this with me, I think, yesterday or the night before, and when I was putting everything together, and I was like, this is nice, but it really doesn't work for the park. So here we are. It works great for this. I would love for you, if you know the song, feel free to sing along. Maybe you sing or think about it through as your prayer, and we will then close the prayer.
Working in all for good.
some of you are watching that video and saying, what does that video have to do with words? Get it? I was doing the same thing when I first watched it. But I love the fact that the video is just about living life. And that's the key to the words. It's that in the midst of everything we're dealing with, in the midst of everywhere we're going, and everything in just regular life, our God is making all things new. So I want to thank you guys for being part of the movement and not being willing to be a sitman. I want to thank you for chasing after Jesus and daring to do what he calls us to do. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the chance to be inside and have this building. And Lord, I thank you that life with you is better. I pray that all those temptations that we have to add layer after layer, barrier after barrier, that, Lord, you've said that it's for freedom that you have set us free, and that we're to stand firm in that freedom, that it's what Jesus did, not what we do. But Lord, might we choose better? Might we step away from the patterns and values that are being sold to us, and instead invest fully in your kingdom, invest in the movement that you've given us, to love one another, to serve, to come to love you. Lord, I thank you for the peace that you bring, the joy that you bring, and the strength, even in the greatest struggle. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, guys. Go out and enjoy the next 6 days of rain.